Beloved Book One day, as Hayakujo was visiting his master, Matsu, a flock of wild geese flew overhead. Matsu asked, "What are they?" "They are wild geese, sir," said Hayakujo. "Where are they?" asked the master. "They have flown away, sir," replied Hayakujo. Matsu suddenly took hold of Hayakujo's nose and twisted it. Overcome with pain, Hayakujo cried out. Matsu said, "You say they have flown away, but all the same, they have been here from the very beginning." At that moment, Hayakujo attained enlightenment. The next day, at a regular assembly, Matsu had hardly sat down when Hayakujo came to roll up his mat, which made the master descend from the platform. Hayakujo followed him into his room. Matsu said, "Just now, before I had begun my sermon, what made you roll up my mat?" Hayakujo said, "Yesterday, your reverence twisted my nose, and I felt acute pain." "Where did you apply your mind yesterday?" Matsu asked. All that the disciple said was, "I feel no more pain in the nose today." Thereupon the master commented, "You have profoundly understood yesterday's episode." On another occasion, as soon as Matsu sat down on the zazen bench as usual, he spat. A monk asked, "Why did you spit?" Matsu said, "When I sat here, there were mountains, rivers, and the whole natural universe in front of me. I spat because I didn't like that." The monk said, "But the universe is so splendid. Why don't you like that?" Matsu replied, "It may be splendid to you, but it is disgusting to me." The monk continued, "What kind of mental state is this?" Matsu said, "This is the state of being a bodhisattva."
Manisha, these are one of the great episodes in the history of Zen. They saw your realization in your action. And when the master acts in a certain way, the disciple spontaneously has to respond, not through thinking, but through his very empty heart. Zen is ultimately a device, thousands of devices created by different masters to provoke awakening in you. Just reading them One may think they are just anecdotes, stories, puzzles. They are neither. They are communications, and communications of the greatest value. One day, as Hayakujo was visiting his master, Matasu, a flock of wild geese flew overhead. Matasu asked, "What are they?" "They are wild geese, sir," said Hayakujo. "Where are they?" asked the master. "They have flown away, sir," replied Hayakujo. Matasu suddenly took hold of Hayakujo's nose and twisted it. Overcome with pain, Hayakujo cried out. Matasu said, "You say they have flown away, but all the same, they have been here from the very beginning." At that moment, Hayakujo attained enlightenment. To any ordinary rational thinker, this will look an absurd statement. But to a man attuned in meditation, this can become a tremendous awakening point. It is not that Hayakujo does not know that the geese have flown away. It is not that he does not know that the geese were there. He is not asking for any knowledgeable answer. He is asking for a response, which Hayakujo missed in the beginning when he said, asked by Matasu, "What are they?" Obviously, Matasu knows what are they. So remember, it is not a question or inquiry about knowing the object. At this point, Hayakujo missed. His response was through the mind. He said, "They are wild geese, sir." That would be the response of anybody in the whole world. It is nothing out of the empty heart. It is not out of the mirror of nothingness. It is just any child will answer it. The answer is right, but Hayakujo's response is not through the heart, it is through the mind. "They are wild geese, sir," said Hayakujo. Here he missed. He should have responded to the question without thinking of any consequences. "What are they?" The master gave him another chance. Asked the master, "They have flown away, sir," replied Hayakujo. He is just functioning on the mental level. Matasu suddenly took hold of Hayakujo's nose and twisted it. Overcome with pain, Hayakujo cried out. Matazu said, "You say they have flown away, but all the same they have been here from the very beginning. Where they can go? They have always been here and will be here. The here is vast enough. Wherever they are in the here. They cannot go out of the here." That's what he was expecting from Hayakujo. But he has to take Hayakujo by his nose and twist the nose to make him aware that he is functioning through the mind. And mind can only bring pain. Mind is pain. So what it appears on the surface, don't take it superficially. Matazu's twisting the nose of Hayakujo and giving him tremendous pain that he cried out. Now this crying out was not out of the mind. This crying out came as a spontaneous response of his whole being. At this moment, the master could say to him, he was in the right space now. He was no more in the mind. His whole being was awake because of the pain. Pain has a tremendous value in awakening. Pain has been used by many masters to awaken the sleeping disciple. All your old religions, on the contrary, console the disciple, help him to sleep well, that God is in heavens and everything is okay on the earth. You don't be worried. But Zen is not at all interested in consoling you. It is interested in awakening you. When Hayakujo cried out, he did not say a single word of sympathy. He did not give any explanation why he has twisted his nose. On the contrary, he said, "You say they have flown away, but all the same they have been here. From the very beginning, in that moment, there was no thought except pain. The mind was empty. The nose was hurting. And Matazu did not care about the nose or the pain. He simply stated a tremendously meaningful statement that nobody, nothing can go away out of here. Here is immense and vast, so is now. Wherever they are here. He was in a right state to understand the meaning of the Master, that everything is always here. Those wild geese was just an excuse to explain to Hayakujo that nothing moves, nothing goes anywhere. At that moment, Hayakujo attained enlightenment, seeing the point, the eternity, and the wideness of now and here. He immediately fall into the emptiness of his heart. Realize the truth, what Matazu was saying. In an instant, something triggered in him, which Zen calls enlightenment. He became aware of his own here-ness, of his own now-ness. The wild geese was just an excuse. But such anecdotes have never happened anywhere. They have no parallel. And hence the difficulty to understand them. They are anecdotes on the path of meditation. Only people of the path who have gone deeper into meditation will be able to understand something which looks absolutely absurd as far as reason is concerned. The nose has nothing to do with attainment. Otherwise, it will be very easy. Just the disciple comes, gets a twisted nose, becomes enlightened and goes home. And Matasu will not twist the nose of any disciple, any XYZ. Hayakujo is ready. It is just a puss. He is just on the boundary line, where anything that can push him just one single step inwards. This great statement that there is no time and there is no space. Here is the only space, and now is the only time, and it is not applicable only to the wild geese, it is applicable to you, to everything. The great statement and the silent, watchful, awakened by the twisted nose, Hayakujo attained enlightenment. The next day, at a regular assembly, Matazu had hardly sat down when Hayakujo came to roll up his mat, which made the master descend from the platform. Hayakujo followed him into his room. Matazu said, "Just now, before I had begun my sermon, what made you roll up my mat?" Hayakujo said, "Yesterday your reverence twisted my nose and I felt acute pain. Where did you apply your mind yesterday?" Matazu asked. All that the disciple said was, "I feel no more pain in the nose today." Thereupon the master commented, "You have profoundly understood yesterday's episode." This is a little more subtle than the first episode. The Zen master gives the sermon, and the chief disciple, when the sermon is over, rolls up the mat on which he was sitting and takes the mat to his room. But in this case, Hayakujo came to roll up his mat, which made the master descend from the platform. Hayakujo followed him into his room. He has not even uttered a single word. Hayakujo has become an enlightened master himself. The yesterday's experience, now he is responding the way a master responds. He is saying by rolling up the mat that now I don't need any sermon. All that I needed, I got yesterday. Matazu said, "Just now, before I had begun my sermon, what made you roll up my mat?" Ayakujo said, "Yesterday your reverence twisted my nose and I felt acute pain. Where did you apply your mind yesterday? You could have done something yesterday." Matazu asked. All that the disciple said was, "I feel no more pain in the nose today." He is saying that I don't need any consolation. I feel no pain in the nose today, and I don't need any sermon anymore. You have said everything yesterday. Thereupon the master commented, "You have profoundly understood yesterday's episode." On another occasion, as soon as Matazu sat down on the zazen bench, as usual, he spat. A monk asked, "Why did you spit?" Matazu said, "When I sat here, there were mountains, rivers, and the whole natural universe in front of me. I spat because I did not like that." The monk said, but the universe is so splendid. Why don't you like that? Matazu replied, it may be splendid to you. It is disgusting to me. The monk continued, what kind of mental state is this? Matazu said, this is the state of a bodhisattva. This, the third part of the anecdote, is even more difficult to understand. Matazu spitting on the zazen bench is really not saying that the mountains and the rivers and the stars I don't like. What he is doing is that whether the disciple remains silent, non-judgmental, or he makes a judgment. Zen's whole attitude is non-judgmental. Don't judge. And at least the action of your master, the disciple should not judge. He should simply witness. He should simply see that Matazu has spat. He is provoking him. He is provoking his judgmental mind. And he has forgotten. The whole teaching is never judge. Just watch. And particularly the action of the master. Do you think Matazu does not understand that spitting on the bench is simply disgusting? But he wants for you to remain unwavered, non-judgmental, just watching as a mirror. If a mirror was watching, do you think the mirror would have said, what are you doing? This is not good. The disciple missed. Otherwise, this was a great opportunity again to have become enlightened. Remember it, all times devices don't succeed. Sometimes they fail. The master makes his wholehearted effort, but the disciple may not be in the right space to understand it. Now, it is very simple to a man of a little meditation that Matazu knows that spitting on the zazen bench is disgusting. So there is no need to ask any question. Perhaps he is provoking you. He is provoking your judgmental mind. And the moment judgmental mind comes in, your watching mind disappears. Remember these two words, judgmental and the watching. You can watch only if you don't judge. But the disciple could not resist to ask. He asked, why did you spit? He forgot completely that here he has to learn watching, not to make judgments, particularly to any action of the master. Matazu said, when I sat here, there were mountains, rivers, and the whole natural universe in front of me. I sped because I did not like that. Still, the disciple could not understand that there was no mountains, no rivers, no universe there in front of the Zazen bench. The master's explanation is just to test the disciple again . He said, I sped because I did not like that. A right meditative disciple would have slapped Matazu, would not have asked, and that would have been greatly appreciated by Matazu. That would have been his enlightenment. It is not a question of asking, it is a question of responding. The master obviously is doing something wrong. Just to provoke, if the disciple had slapped the master without saying anything, the master would have laughed and blessed the disciple that you have understood it. But because the disciple has missed the point, he again says, I sped because I did not like that. He wants the disciple to say to him that what happened to your non-judgmental mind? But the disciple has forgotten completely about the non-judgmental mind, which is the very foundation of Zen. The monk said, but the universe is so splendid. He started arguing with the master. You don't argue. You respond. You don't start a verbal conversation that is missing the master and his great compassion. The monk said, but the universe is so splendid. Why don't you like that? He has come down to the mind. And is on the point of discussing the point. Zen does not allow discussion. It is not a debate. It is pure awakening from the mind, pure freedom from the judgment. Matazu replied, It may be splendid to you, but it is disgusting to me. He is again and again trying to remind him that he should slap him for being judgmental now. But he has completely forgotten the foundation. The monk continued, "What kind of mental state is this?" He is continuing on the mental state. Matazu said, "This is the state of a bodhisattva. This is the state of a Buddha." Now, there was nothing else to be said. Matazu has closed the conversation. Seeing the point that the device failed, so remember, it is not always that a device will succeed, because there are two persons involved, the master who is enlightened and the disciple who is not enlightened. And most probably he will behave in an unenlightened way, not knowing that this is the time to act spontaneously, not through the mind, but through the empty heart. Dayo wrote in praise of Canaan, "The cliffs are high and deep, the waters rush and tumble, the realm of perfect communion is new in each place. Face to face, the people who meet her don't recognize her. When will they ever be free from the harbor of illusion?" Each moment in existence is a moment ready for communion. There is no special moment in which you can become enlightened. Every moment is special. Every moment is potential for your enlightenment. A beautiful sunset, a beautiful sunrise, a great sky full of stars, are just this silence. Anything will do if you remember yourself to be a watcher, not getting involved, not getting identified, but just remaining a mirror, empty mirror. Before the empty mirror, no illusion can remain long. All illusions will disappear. They remain only because you get involved with them. Tao is saying with great compassion, when will they ever be free from the harbor of illusion? Every moment the time comes for enlightenment. Every moment is the season the right climate, just you go on missing. Missing becomes your habit. And that habit has to be broken. You have to become stabilized, concentrated in the moment, at the center of your being, just watching without saying a single word of evaluation, good, bad, beautiful, nothing has to be said. Just watching is enough. And all illusions disappear. All that is false disappears. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, the story about Mataji spitting brought home to me how everything you do and say seems to be only for your disciples' sake. You relate to such a diverse bunch of us, from dancing plums to hot potatoes, from German stoneheads to laughing Sardarjis, and yet you are never other than yourself, just like water that takes the shape of whatever container it flows into, and yet does not lose its essential nature. Is it that when you are nobody, you can be anybody? Manisha, when you are nobody, you are already everybody. Nobody and everybody mean the same thing. And my calling some of you hot potatoes or dancing plums, German stone heads to laughing Sardarjis, are all devices and I know that you are in the right place and you will not misunderstand me. It is out of love and out of compassion I call you any name. For example, Abir Baba I had called a big ripe plum. She understood it. She waved me a kiss. And today she is sitting there hiding an egg. Abir Baba, bring your egg here. Bring it. Yeah. That is the right egg. Now the time for Sardarji has come. He is sitting exactly first in the row. From the very last row he has come into the... Paddy is in a dark mood, so he goes to see the famous channeler, Madam Hippo. Ah, says the woman, staring into her crystal ball, the signs are not good. Really, says Paddy wide-eyed, what does it say? Well, see, in tones, it says that you will be a widower in 1 week. Paddy wipes the sweat from his face and leans back. I know that. Says Paddy, what I want to know is, will I get caught? George Bush, the American Vice President, telephones the Justice Department at 3 o'clock in the morning. He insists that he must speak to the Chief Judge immediately. Finally, the housekeeper decides to wake the judge. Well, what it is, demands the Chief Justice. Your Honor, exclaims Bush, Ronald and Nancy Reagan have just taken poison together in the White House underground bunker. And they are both dead. Really? Says the judge, yawning. Yes, really, cries Bush. The undertaker is here, all ready to put them in their coffins. Really? Says the sleepy judge. Yes, really, shouts Bush. And since I'm the vice president, I want to take Reagan's place. Well, it is okay with me, replies the judge, if it is okay with the undertaker. Walter and Peggy Sue are out for a date together in Walter's new Ford, Thunderbird. He is going so slowly that it is driving Peggy Sue bananas. Listen, says Peggy Sue excitedly, every time you speed up the car 10 miles per hour, I will take off a piece of my clothing. Walter immediately puts his foot down on the accelerator and off comes her shoes. Walter smiles, pushes on the gas, and off comes her blouse. Walter's eyes bulge out and he stomps the pedal to a floor. And off comes Peggy Sue's bra, skirt, and finally her lace panties, Walter gets so excited that he gets his machinery stuck in the steering wheel and loses control of the car. It skids off the road and rolls over. Neither of them are hurt, but Walter is stuck underneath the car. Quick, pants Walter, go for help. Frantic and stark naked, Peggy Sue starts running around in all directions. She picks up one of Walter's shoes, holds it over her pussy, and runs to the nearest garage. There she bumps into the big Rufus, the black guy, and he is fixing a car. "You have got to help," Peggy Sue explains breathlessly to Rufus. "My boyfriend is stuck." Rufus looks at the girl for a long time. "Lady," he replies slowly, "if he is up that far, we will never get him out." Close your eyes, feel the body to be completely frozen. Go inwards with your total energy, with a great urgency, as if this is the last moment of your life, and you have to reach to the center and the source of your being. Deeper and deeper. Your life center is also the center of the whole universe. It is from your life center that you are nourished by existence. just watch the silence, the peace, the immense splendor of your being, you are the Buddha when you are watching. The same mind empty becomes the Buddha. The Buddha is nothing but an empty mirror. No judgment, just a watchfulness, a witnessing, and you have arrived. To make it more clear, Nivedana, relax, let go of the body, of the mind, leave them and just be a watcher. The body is not you. The mind is not you. You are only a pure witness. This is your Buddhahood. Rejoice in it. Get soaked and drenched in the blessing that is spontaneously sours at the center of your being. This center of your being has to become your circumference also. Slowly, slowly, you have to bring the Buddha out in your actions, in your words, in your silences, day in, day out. The Buddha has to become just your heartbeat. This immensely beautiful evening has become even more beautiful by 10,000 Buddhas just watching. The eternity of existence . The wild geese is always here. You have never been anywhere else. You have always been here and now. Remember it. When you come back, bring that remembrance with you. It has to become your very life, your very character. Nivedana. come back, but bring the Buddha with you. Come back as empty mirrors and sit down for a few seconds as a Buddha. Remembering, recollecting, the great experience you have passed through. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Can we celebrate the 10,000 Buddhas?
Yes, Bhagwan.